was also a factor in the so-called Federalist Revolt of 1793, a major provincial protest against the direction the revolution was taking, which saw several key towns, including Marseille and Lyon, rise against their revolutionary authorities. In response to these internal and external threats, the convention implemented sweeping new security measures. These included the establishment in March of a revolutionary tribunal to try counter-revolutionary crimes. And in April, a new body drawn from members of the convention was created to oversee the war effort, the soon-to-be notorious Committee of Public Safety. The convention, too, was deeply divided, with two main factions polarizing debate. One, associated with the Jacobins, became known as the Mountain, from its deputy's habit of sitting high up on the benches. The other was the Girondin, associated with Brissot, and the fiery Bordeaux lawyer Pierre Victurnien Vergniaud. The Mountain sat to the left, the Girondin to the right of the chair, thus giving the terms left and right the political gloss they have kept ever since. Around the convention swirled the fissile politics of the Paris streets. New groups emerged at the radical extreme, notably the enragés, literally madmen, and the hébertistes, supporters of the revolutionary journalist and commune member Jacques-René Hébert. Marat, as always, fanned the flames, continually attacking the Girondin, who tried and failed to have him convicted by the revolutionary tribunal. Meanwhile, in April, with French forces falling back from the gains of 1792, the Girondin general Dumouriez defected to the enemy, further intensifying the paranoid factionalism at the heart of government. At the end of May 1793, this volatile mixture exploded into direct action. On the 31st, a crowd of some 30,000 armed enragés and sans-culottes surrounded the convention, demanding the immediate arrest of its leading Girondin members. The nervous deputies faced them down, but 2 days later, on the 2nd of June, the citizens' militia was back in overwhelming force. Some 75,000 National Guards surrounded the convention, refusing to let the elected representatives leave until they purged the Girondins. This time, 29 Girondins were arrested, including Brissot and Vergniaud. In parts of France with strong Girondin sympathies, the purge threw fuel on the fires of federalism. During the summer, several cities, including Bordeaux, Caen, Lyon, and Marseille, raised their own armed forces and threatened to march on Paris. On the 13th of July, the long arm of revolt reached into the heart of the city when a young woman from Caen knocked on the door of Marat's lodgings in the Rue de Cordelier. The visitor, Charlotte Corday, was admitted to the room where Marat sat in his bath, soothing a serious skin complaint. There she drew a knife from her bodice and stabbed him through the chest. The murder made two martyrs, a Jacobin one of Marat and an anti-Jacobin one of Corday, who was executed shortly afterwards. By August, then, the convention found itself fighting a civil war on two fronts and an international war of ever-widening scope. It was also dealing with serious public disorder on its own doorstep. The economic situation was deteriorating by the day, and there had been food riots in Paris for months. Britain was contributing to the shortages by a naval blockade of French ports, one of which, Toulon, was actually handed over to the British fleet by Federalist rebels who preferred to surrender to the enemy rather than to their own government's forces. Things clearly couldn't go on like this. When, on the 5th of September 1793, thousands of radical activists, organized by Hébert, marched on the convention, protesting against food shortages and demanding the full force of the law against enemies of the revolution, the deputies bowed to their demands. The most notorious period of the revolution had begun. The terror of 1793 to 1794 was a ruthless attempt by the Jacobin authorities to preserve the revolution in the face of a dangerously fragile security situation. Already in August, a mass levy had been decreed, placing everything and everybody in France at the disposal of the war effort, a mobilization unprecedented in military history, which would in time provide France with a fighting force of 800,000 men. Now a raft of new measures tightened the security apparatus introduced earlier in the year, giving the government draconian powers of surveillance and arrest. These included the Law of Suspects, under which as many as 500,000 people may have been detained during the course of the terror. In addition, a system of price controls, the general maximum, was introduced to contain the spiralling cost of basic goods, and new sans-culotte militias, known as revolutionary armies, were set up to protect the supply chain against counter-revolutionary disruption. In October, the newly drafted constitution was suspended, and revolutionary government was declared until the peace. The early months of the terror were dedicated to crushing the provincial risings and eliminating political opposition, whether from left or right. That most hated figure of the old regime, Marie Antoinette, went to the guillotine on the 16th of October, leaving her children behind at the temple, where the Dauphin, Louis XVII, to his royalist supporters, would die of tuberculosis less than 2 years later. The leading Girondins followed her on the 31st, including Brissot and Vergniaud, who earlier in the year had prophetically likened the revolution to Saturn devouring his own children. Over the course of the next year, some 16,000 people would die on the guillotine. There were certainly aristocrats among them. There were priests, too. But most of those sentenced to death in the terror, who may have numbered some 30,000 in all, were ordinary people who happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, or with the wrong opinions. Between October and December, government forces recaptured the main strongholds of the Federalist revolt. Marseille, which had fallen at the end of August, became the geographical equivalent of an unperson, its treachery punished by the official redesignation Ville sans nom, town without a name. Now Bordeaux and Lyon also capitulated. The Committee of Public Safety ordered Lyon to be razed to the ground and replaced with a monument reading, "Lyon made war on liberty. Lyon is no more." It didn't happen, but large areas of the city were demolished and nearly 2,000 Lyonnais executed. Toulon, too, was retaken and the British driven back out to sea. Among those who distinguished themselves in the action was a dashing 24-year-old artillery captain from Corsica by the name of Napoleon Bonaparte. But the highest price was paid by the rebels of the Vendée. By December, the Catholic and Royal Army was defeated. The commander of the Republican forces sent a chilling report back to the Committee of Public Safety. "Following the orders you gave me, I have crushed children under the feet of horses, massacred women," he wrote. "I have no prisoners with which to reproach myself." In Nantes, the representative on mission, Jean-Baptiste Carrier, dealt with the backlog of